Well, here we go. Today is July 26th. Do you know what that means, don't you? Summer's half over, maybe a little more. Yeah, I said before, when we had those hot days, I said, this may be all the summer we're going to get. And, we still got August, September, so we'll be good. Well, today, our lesson is life in the Holy Spirit. And people would, years ago, not so much now you hear it, we're living in the Spirit, okay? So, what's that mean, living in the Spirit? Does it mean that, like Moses talked with God face to face? He's the only guy that did that. So, is that what it means, living in the Spirit? God only showed up a couple times in his life and God said there's not anyone like him, any prophet like him. So we got this life in the Holy Spirit. I think it is portrayed as something that is very spiritual, that does not involve everyday life and interactions. I think it would be likened to those individuals who would go out, those monks and someone that would go in a monastery and close themselves off from all other people, or they would go up in the mountains, in Israel, and live in a cave for 40 days, and they would find them dead. not that it's silly, but how that people would interpret life in the Spirit. And so it's important, this lesson helps me understand more. The story of the ten bridesmaids, okay? Five were ready, five were not, okay? Five had oil to spare and five didn't. Well, five, it's in one version, it says the five didn't even bring oil. They just brought their lamp. Duh. you didn't bring your lamp. You brought your lamp, but there's oil goes in there, But they brought it just in case somebody else would bring oil. But the oil, whenever the bridegroom came, they said to the bridegroom, they said to the other, the ones who did not, said to the ones who had, give us some oil. And they didn't give it to them. And I always wondered, that's kind of selfish. But I heard this, don't know how true it is or whatever, take it as a grain of wheat. The oil is representative of relationship. And people cannot take your relationship with God and make it theirs. You can't hand them your relationship. The oil is produced over our lifetime. And our lifetime is prayer and devotion and reading the scriptures. And it's not an isolation. It's not going out into the wilderness and cutting yourself off from everybody else or going into a seclusion somewhere. But that's not spirituality. That's just isolation. So whenever we're thinking of life in the Holy Spirit, I think we're looking at how that we are preparing ourselves for when Jesus Christ returns. So that our lamp in the darkness of life, this is part of my sermon, but it's also appropriate here. Our lamp in the dark times of life still burns. Because the relationship that we have with Jesus before the dark times is the oil in the lamp. And when he shows up in the middle of the night, we still got oil in the lamp, we're ready to go. And so coming, being in church and doing the right things and, praying and all, that's all part of the production of oil that that this 10 bridesmaids emphasizes. So I'd never heard that one before, and I thought that was interesting. Amen, thank you. I thought you would say that too, right? Boy, preacher, that was interesting. Right? I was going to call you Tom. Mike, Tom's out walking his dog. Tom don't have a dog. I'm going to buy him a dog. That'll give him something to do. Maybe a cat. Maybe he feels like cats, but like your dad did. Maybe. All right, we'll go on. So in Galatians 5, Paul gives a triumphant yet practical call to Christian freedom. He challenges the Galatian believers to stop relying on works and rituals of the law for salvation. So he has spoken to the Galatians and the people at Galatia and in that surrounding region. He spoke to them about the grace of God and that they don't need the law of Moses and they don't need circumcision in order to be a believer in Jesus. So the overall theme that Paul is presenting in this section is walking in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is, you know, there again, it's like if I say walking in the Spirit, you know, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Holiness or people that, you know, I don't know. They're just on, it always whenever I get myself in trouble here. When people would be, they would make you feel small because of their great spirituality and their walk with God. Their high calling was so impressive, they were impressed with it. And they made you feel like, you know, one time I was having lunch with a pastor, and he was kind of a large church or whatever. And when he was done, he comes over and puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says, "We always want to take care of the small pastor." I thought, I almost hit him, spiritually speaking. You know, it's like he's so grandiose in who he is and what he has accomplished and the largeness of his faith in the church. And, you know, we always want to take care of the small pastor. And so, God, you take care of him. He's yours. I'll just go on. I won't hit him. I won't run him over with the car. You know, it's like the lady who ran her husband over with the car. You know, she said it was an accident. But the attorney said, but you did it 10 times. You know, well, I wanted to make sure he's dead. So, you know, did it 10 times. So, the message of Christian freedom is from bondage of the law. And bondage from the law is that the Jewish people, they had to be under the law. If they did not obey the law, there was no eternity for them, no eternity with God. Now, if you were a Sadducee, you didn't even believe in eternity. So what's the use of keeping all the laws? You're going to be a good Hebrew person, you're going to be good to the faith and the law of Moses, and you're going to die and you got nothing for it. So anyhow, we'll move on. As Christians, we are called to obedient living. Obedient living. Now, the important part is we are not living in a constant state of guilt and comparison. That I'm not as good as I should be. I mean, you know, when God says love thy neighbor, you set it up here, gotta love my neighbor, and you know, it's like I didn't do that very well. You better straighten up, or you know where you're going. You know, that type of guilt maneuver. That's not the Holy Spirit, and that's not the Word of God. That's not how it works. So, Paul here is telling the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty." Now, stand fast, therefore, in the freedom that you have found in Christ. So, you are free. Christ came to fulfill the law. And the prophets. You know, whenever Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and with Elijah, that those were, that Christ was conferring, like they were talking together. Moses is the law and Elijah is the prophets. And so Christ has fulfilled the law and the prophets. And so that's why they were together. You know, it's kind of an illustration of what they are doing there on the Mount, in the Mount of Transfiguration. So Paul is telling the Galatians to stand fast in the liberty, the freedom they have found in Christ. Don't be entangled with the laws of Moses and the circumcision and the temple in order to be a believer in Jesus. Don't do it. That's what he's telling them. Christ hath made you free. Christ says, Jesus has made you free from the law. And, you know, so that you are under grace, not by law. The law was able to convict you of sin, but it wasn't able to cleanse you from sin. See, that was the whole idea of the law, was to give you direction and keep you going in the right direction, but it's supposed to go into your heart and into your life and how you surround your heart. How you help your family, how you help your neighbor, how much you're part of the community, all these things, it's, you know, the law had its place, but it was the schoolmaster, the scripture says, that was getting you prepared for Christ's coming. So, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. So, what you have in Christ doesn't mean a thing. If you go back to obeying the law and trying to find your relationship with God through the law. Are fallen from grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. God has, his divine favor is upon us, upon you. And his grace, you know, he looks beyond our faults, sees our need. He, you know, his grace and mercy. He's still law, he's still justice. But it's not from the idea of the commandments. It's from his grace and mercy to forgive and bring us into that relationship. So, verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So, this hope of righteousness is the key for standing firm is our liberty. We, you know, we are free to make our decisions. We are free moral agents. So whenever we stand and people are separated and Jesus says to us, to those who have God, do not have him as Savior, depart from me, I never knew you. So God's grace was to those individuals cast off. It was of no effect. And being of no effect, they were, then when it came time for entering into the kingdom of God, they didn't have a clue because they had thrown away the grace of God. But for those who believe, their life is committed to Christ. Whether one is circumcised does not matter. What does matter is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love. So that's verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which is worked by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth. So who is it that is keeping you from obeying the truth of the word of faith and grace? Then verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer? So what the Judaizers, of course, there's our wonderful group, the Judaizers who were demanding that the Galatians adopt the Mosaic laws, and they wanted the Galatians to, you know, be part of the Jewish community, and they were preaching and teaching that Paul actually believed this act of circumcision. He believed that too, he just didn't tell you, and he's a liar, you know. And Paul says, if I didn't preach circumcision, then why am I being persecuted? It's like, you know, I wouldn't be persecuted if I was preaching what those guys say I do. So even Paul was, they found fault with Paul. So Judaizers even accused Paul of teaching the need for circumcision. We said that, in order to be saved. Then chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. All right? You have been called unto freedom, which is, you know, freedom from the law. So the guilt of the law versus the freedom in Christ. The law couldn't save you, just told you what was wrong. The grace of God lets you know, and the mercy of God would show you what is wrong and then provide forgiveness and then provide strength to go on in your life without the guilt of the law being part of Christ's grace. Excuse me. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh. Do not allow the freedom that you find in Christ to be a liberty to express the lower nature, the sinful nature that you possess. Don't allow that to happen. And he says, but by love, serve one another. So rather than lusting after or being greedy after or, coveting your neighbor's goods, you want to be serving them, serve one another in love, not in the sense of trying to take what they got or jealous of what they have. Or, you know, talk behind their back and say disgusting things. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So looking at the law and looking at what Christ has done for us, that we find that the love thy neighbor is that as you would desire things to be done for you, do unto your neighbor. And but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed, that ye do not consume one another. So you should be free enough to serve one another, not be backbiting, stealing, and tearing down your neighbor. So now we move to the other things that we think of as walking in the Spirit. So we walk and live in the Spirit. This is Galatians 5:16. So when he's saying walk in the Spirit, this is the indicators. This I say unto them, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when you're looking at the Spirit and looking at God and the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you're looking at the character of Christ and the character that he wants you to be. So we have a goal. We have the Spirit of Christ. It's like, this is the goal, this is where we're going, and this is how we're going to get there. You want to have a spiritual life, and what does the spiritual life do? That it fills your lamp with oil. So it gives you oil for your lamp in the times of darkness. That's a good analogy. So it isn't like we walk in the Spirit and, oh, I'm, you know, we always want to take care of, you know. If I'd have been a dog, he'd have pet me. If I'd have had hair, he'd have pet me. Then I'd have bit him. Out of love. Right, Jim? All right. Yeah, out of love. Yeah. I'm just kidding. So, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Live your life in the Spirit. Okay? Forgive those who hurt us. Do good to those, you know, who abuse us. You know, but you see, working at this, in our own strength is extremely frustrating. And it just ends up destroying us. So, you know, it's like, God, you either give me strength to do this or I'm not doing it. I've had enough of these people. And so we've got to have that recognition of what God wants to do in our life. And if we do this on our own, you know, we're not making any oil for our lamp. So we have to have the relationship with Christ to do this. And then from that perspective, in that relationship with Christ, we are doing the things that he speaks for us to do. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to impart those things to us and give us the strength to do it. All right. So, for the verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So, our flesh, our human nature, doesn't like it. Our human nature doesn't like these things. And so we, you know, if somebody stamps on your toe, you want to stomp on theirs. You know, they did it intentionally. And so that's our human nature, get even, get back, you know, all that kind of stuff. But he's telling us, and this, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. They don't belong together. They're always fighting against each other. It's like the Indian who, the Native American, it's an old story. The Native American had two dogs, the black dog and the white dog. And he would take them to different communities and he'd have them fight. And nobody knew which one, they bet on which one would win. And the owner of the dogs, he'd always win. And the different dog would win each week. And they said, how do you know which dog's going to win? And he said, the one I feed the most. You know? Which one do I feed the most? So whenever you are looking at this, what nature are we feeding? And, you know, and it's difficult. You know, well, like the hospital and all the places and stuff. You always have someone who is the antagonist, someone who's always misinterpreting things intentionally, you know, and it's like, you know, God, if you don't take care of them, I am. No, it's not right. But the antagonism that goes on between the two things, between the flesh and the spirit, it isn't an easy walk. And, you know, Paul, what had happened to Paul? Well, they took him out and beat him and, you know, drug him out of the city for dead, you know, just little things. So, that was a joke, little things. Right. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So, if we're led by the Holy Spirit, so what is the Holy Spirit leading us? How do we know it's the Holy Spirit? Well, the works of the flesh are envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, if you're going out and you're envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings, that's not the Spirit of God. you can know that. You don't need a sign from heaven, you know. This is something, you can't do this. Well, so Paul issued a command to all believers to walk in the Spirit. Okay, walk in the Spirit, verse 16. This is the only way we can overcome the lust of the flesh, our former nature. You know, the nature that wants to drunken and revelings and murders and envyings. Now, murder is not just killing somebody. It's in your heart, too. You know, and I've never killed anybody. Well, how about in your heart and in your mind? Okay, so we'll move on. So the war between the spirit and the flesh to have control over us can be a difficult process. When the flesh prevails, our carnality has the dominance. And when the spirit prevails, our spiritual nature is in control. The spirit leads us to victory over the flesh. So There are four categories and 17 works. 17 works in the four categories. So, 17 works of the flesh may be divided into these four categories. One, the first category is sensual passions. Sensual passions. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Adultery is sexual relations between married persons and someone other than his wife or spouse, husband or spouse. Fornication is having consensual sexual relations between two persons not married to each other. Uncleanness refers to moral impurity, including such sins as sodomy and bestiality. Lasciviousness is a lewd lifestyle that throws off all restrictions without any regard for self-respect or the rights and feelings of others. So those are the sensual passions. Second category is religious sins. The religious sins are idolatry and witchcraft. Idolatry is worshiping anything other than the living God, and witchcraft is any real or pretended association with the devil, including soothsaying and black magic. Ouija boards, you know, those things. Tarot cards, what else? Things that are associated with, not associated with the Spirit of God. The third category is sins against others. These are hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, seditions, and heresies, and envy. So what do all those mean? Well, hatred is the opposite of love. It is intense dislike for other people and wishing the worst for them. Praying that these individuals would die and burn in hell is kind of the category that falls in. The next one is variance. Variance is quarreling and contending with others for little or no cause. I just like to argue. Emulations are jealousies that seek to pull others down in order to lift oneself up. So, spreading lies and tearing them down. Wrath is an outbreak of uncontrolled rage that can do a great deal of damage. Strife is an attitude that is always ready to start a quarrel. Seditions are dissensions that split things between two individuals, split them apart, such as dividing a church or inciting rebellion against authority. Heresies are false opinions of the great doctrinal teachings of the Bible. Envy is a malicious spirit of displeasure when seeing another person being praised or a desire to have something that belongs to another. And the fourth category is sins of intemperance, which is murder, is the unjust taking of another's life. Drunkenness means consuming strong drink. The mind is intoxicated. Notice it says the mind is intoxicated, not the body. But the body is also, but the mind is intoxicated. And the body is enfeebled and unable to function. And revelings refers to unbridled immorality. So, walking in the Spirit. We listen to these and look at these. What it's doing is giving us the guardrails. You know, whenever I say that Jesus said, narrow is the gate that leads to heaven and broad is the gate that leads to hell. Well, narrow is the gate means we have restrictions. There are restrictions to our life. The restrictions to our life create a pathway that keeps us from falling off the road or falling off the cliff or going in a different direction. So that's what these 17 feelings, these 17 works of the flesh, what they are doing is Paul saying, these become your guidelines. Don't do this. Okay? Now, what he does do is in verse 22. Okay, so we got the negative, so now we have the positive. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So there, people were always, you know, looking for the law to justify themselves, but there's no law that cancels these fruits out. And there's no law that says you have to do these to justify yourself. Paul is saying that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of walking with God, is this. So, the first category is an inward expression. Inward expressions. The inward expression of love, joy, and peace. Love is unconditional. The Lord will enable us to do what is best for others, no matter how they treat us. Joy is anchored in God and enables believers to hope and rejoice even in the face of life reversals. And I think of that as the oil in the lamp that burns in the darkness. And peace speaks of being at peace with God and having an inner calmness the world cannot give. So this peace with God is where we draw upon to deal with other people. We often forget God is in charge, you know. Got to remind ourselves, God is in charge, not them, not our government, not the people. Well, you know, no matter what political opinion, they're not in charge. God is in charge, and his peace is a peace that he gives to me in order for me to deal with what's happening in our world. The second category is outward expressions, such as long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So long-suffering is a disposition that does not rush to retaliate or avenge an injury. So long-suffering is suffering long. So. Second, gentleness. Gentleness is grace in action. This word is also translated kindness. It treats others with respect and seeks to make those around them happy. But happy is not like ha 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 happy, but joy in their spirit. And goodness seeks to do good to others. Then the third category is upward. Upward expression. Faith, meekness, temperance. So faith means fidelity, being true to one's word, being trustworthy. Meekness is a balance, is balanced temper and passion. This trait was prominent in the lives of Jesus, Moses, and Paul. And temperance is self-restraint as to one's desire. It pictures a steadfastness that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those who bear the fruit of the Spirit find no law interfering with them. So there's no law that comes and says, you know, you're not right. You're not right by loving and forgiving. You know. So we say that, you know, you just ain't right upstairs. You're too kind. You're too good. You forgive. You do this, you know, following the spiritual truths. And so walking in the Spirit, I think, is looking at the guidelines to say, don't do this, and receiving the Spirit that says, you can do this. you can love and forgive, and you can have long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith is a gift and a fruit. You know, we can have, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, but also faith. Any man lacks faith, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't hold back. So faith, and the fruit of faith, is something that is growing in your life. So faith is one of those, having faith in God, faith in what Christ is and what the scriptures are telling us, faith that God is in charge. These are all part of walking in the Spirit. You know, sometimes we don't feel like we're walking in the Spirit. I don't think Paul had that spiritual ecstasy when he was being stoned. You know, people have this, they're on another planet in their spirit life, and they're just walking around on clouds, and they're not walking in the Spirit. So any questions, any thoughts? There's more, but I'm not done, huh? Any questions? Part of the next scripture of walking in the Spirit, bear one another's burdens. You can't take what belongs to someone else. You can only walk with them as they go through the hardship. You can't take it on yourself. You know, whenever we try to take other people's pain and sorrow, it doesn't work. You can't do that. I remember a nurse in hospice, she was just starting, and it was after a few months, and she says, you know, every time somebody dies, part of me dies. And I said, well, that's a good idea, but how long do you become terminal in your ability to take care of people because you only have so much life to give? You know, burnout and all that kind of stuff. So recognizing, you know, what we have is the ability to support, to comfort, to strengthen, to walk alongside. That's what Jesus does with us. He walks alongside us. And bear one another's burdens, for every man shall bear his own burden. That's the next verse. So we bear our own burdens, but yet we share them with Christ. Christ says, enter in the yoke with me, that the two of us can take this yoke together. An animal, you know, the yoke is two animals pulling, going through life. And be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's always one that you say, okay, you know, be careful what you, you know, well, the expression was, be careful what you wish for, you know. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. The flesh doesn't have eternal life. The flesh doesn't produce love, kindness, you know, love, gentleness, meekness, goodness, long-suffering, those things. The flesh doesn't do that. Your nature, your old nature just can't do that. It's only the nature that we have in Christ allows us. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap a harvest if we don't faint. So don't quit doing the right things. God will strengthen you and enable you to live and do what is right before him. Now we're done. So any thoughts, questions? Reached the end of the Bible. No, I've reached the end of the lesson. Okay, so all right. Any questions, thoughts, expressions? Father, again, we are grateful that you watch over us. We're thankful for your word, and help us, Lord, as we endeavor to walk in the Spirit, that, Lord, you've given us the guardrails, the information, the things that would trigger in us that we're going in the wrong direction or we're off the path. And, Lord, you give to us the assurance that we're on the path by the fruit of your Spirit, your love, O God, that touches our hearts, the comfort that we give to others, and the strength that we give. So, Lord, we thank you for these assurances. Bless, we pray, and help us, O Lord, as we walk with you each day. In Jesus' name, amen.